This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by the Bissell Bark Bath. The Bissell Bark Bath allows you to bathe your dog with virtually no mess. Using less than 48 ounces of water, visit bissell.com/TMS to learn more. And when you use the coupon TMS, you receive 2 free bottles of no-rinse shampoo with your order. This coupon code is good for a limited time only. That's bissell.com/TMS and use the code TMS at checkout. Coming up on TMS, everyone has a grumpy cat.
Coke wants you to chill out in Japan.
The Bully Bus.
Amazon Echoes are laughing at you for no reason.
You keep driving your stolen... No, don't keep driving your stolen car.
Call now and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
They say big game hunting is a sport only for the wealthy. Well, it didn't cost me much, except almost my life.
The 1958 Edsel!
This is The Morning Stream. We're gonna need a new plan.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Thursday's edition of TMS. That's right, The Morning Stream for March 8th, 2018. We'll just call it 2018. Almost said 2016.
Did you almost say 2016? Like, not even last year.
Yeah.
This is like worse than writing last year's date on your checks at the Kroger
that I can't. Store. Yeah, that I can't cash in 2018 or whatever.
Your mouth is writing checks with last year's date on it that you can't cash, Jensen. Give me your badge and your gun.
Actually, if I do, if I write a check for that last year and try to cash it, will I get in trouble for that? Do you know? Or
really? No.
They just won't do it.
Oh, no, they'll totally do it. You can have a predated check and deposit it. You just can't have a post-dated check.
How do they know that I didn't cheat and do it this year, though? They don't know.
Doesn't matter. Really, the date, I don't even know why the date matters unless it is posted. Unless you want a way to say, you can't deposit this until Friday.
Well, what
if it's a previous day?
So if you predate it, let's say I write a check for Friday, that's supposed to be a no-no. Right.
That's post-dating check. And that's not necessarily a no-no. I mean, it's a good way to, like you say, it's a good way to make sure you'll have the funds from your paycheck that comes in.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you mean, because then they can't cash it till Friday. I get it.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't get my paycheck, so don't cash this until Friday. It's post-dated. But predated, not a problem. Because they don't know when you wrote the check. You could have written it months ago.
Oh, it could be in any time. So what we've learned, we've got a new, it's the new economic segment on TMS.
Really, who writes checks anymore? Except the lady who's always in front of me in line at the King Supers.
That's true. I don't like writing checks at all. In fact, I can't remember the last one I did. My wife does them here and there because she has, she takes care of most of the bills and stuff. But today's tax day. She's over at my tax accountant's office right now, sitting down with my good old buddy Mark Barrett, who's been my accountant since 1996.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And this great guy, reliable, trustworthy, wonderful dude who makes it all happen for a reasonable price. And I could not be more grateful to have that, because if I was doing my own, I'd probably shoot myself with a potato gun.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. I mean, with all the garbage that we do.
Oh, my gosh, dude. Just like dealing with
the Wild West. And they understand all this stuff. It's like, well, you went to Vegas for... an award. Mm-hmm. You went to Anaheim for an award. That counts as a business trip. So we're going to write that whole trip off. Anything you did, Disneyland, sure, we're writing that off.
Yeah. Like all the, I was always like, hey, what can I do for this trip to BlizzCon? Oh, the whole thing. Everything you do, just write it off.
Oh,
write it off.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, it's a little weird, but it's working out. And Kim's taking care of it, which is nice because I don't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have a wife who's like, yeah, I got it. I'll take care of this part. You earn, yeah. I'll learn. I said, okay, we'll see you later. I got
that kind of help here.
Well,
I mean, I love Tina and all, but she.
everybody's got their thing, right? Like we got,
right, exactly.
There's certain things that I do that she can't do. Like here's the thing. You say to me, Scott, I need a bunch of digital stuff and it needs to be done by 2. And I'd say, give me Photoshop, give me a mouse, see it too.
Exactly.
I would be done. I wouldn't flinch. It'd be fine. If you ask me to speak in front of people, I can do it. Like those kinds of things I can do. Kim can't do any of that, or she hates speaking, public speaking of any kind. She hates it. So she avoids that like the plague. I handle that side of things. Not that there's a lot of demand, but when things come up, I'm happy to be that guy. I'll make your digital Photoshop thing too. she'll make dinner because you want to eat something decent.
A spectacular dinner, right, exactly. Right.
So we play on each other's strengths. One of hers is making sure the books are updated, so she just does it. That's fine with me. 100% fine with me. It's like having my own...
All balance.
She's my comptroller, basically.
Yes.
I still don't know what a comptroller is, but whatever.
They control the comp.
Oh, all right. Well, someone needs to get that comp under control.
It's out of control, that comp.
She was voted in by me. Anyway, hey, I got a cat question for you here.
Sure. That's good, because I have a cat, and sometimes the cat provides answers, sometimes I provide answers.
It's like a magic eight ball. Right now. Just flip her around, and she says, you will meet a mysterious man today.
Rub my belly and ask again later.
So the cat, Deckard Johnson is his name. Mm-hmm. He's been great, no problems, no issues, but he had his second shots appointment yesterday. Mm. And he is a real bastard now. Like,
yeah,
they get real grumpy. Is that a normal thing to have?
It's totally normal. Okay. They get kicked off at the world after anything that is out of their control. Cats thrive on control more than humans do. Like, you know, we can kind of go with the flow when need be, and we kind of say, oh, this is something I have to do. All right, fine. You know, it's not going to be fun, but I can roll with it. Cats are not able to do that at all. Like, okay, anything out of order. Like, that pillow wasn't there yesterday. Yeah. This is all screwed up. I'm leaving.
Yeah, they get grumpy.
I'm going to go pee in the laundry basket or something.
So they went as far as, you know, shots. Of course, those are a pain, and he didn't like those. Yeah. But they also put a thermometer up his hooter, and he did not like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, nothing. Nothing like the look on your cat's face staring at you, like laser focus eyes at you, when they're getting a thermometer up the hooch, because you know they're blaming you for all this.
Yeah, he's pissed, and he's showing it. He walked up to me today. I looked at him. I go, "What's going on, buddy?" And he just like put his paw out and smacked me on the cheek, and then walked away.
Really?
Yeah. It's like he's
just kind of cute, actually.
It was cute, but it was definitely like a "I know what you did" kind of moment. And even though I didn't take him, it wasn't me that took him, but. Anyway, bottom line is he's being a real pisser, and that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
He'll get over it, right? They get over it. They
get over it.
All right. That's the important thing. Cause I know for whatever reason, any other cats we've ever owned, we were past the shot period when we had the cat. So we never needed
to take him.
Yeah. I never had to do it. I never had like a vet visit where it's like, oh, his eyes have fallen out or something. We just never had to do any of that.
Yeah, and Ara, we got a little bit later on, too. Like, she, I think, had already gone through the initial shots and stuff. But we did have to take her into the vet when there was kind of some lethargy. Lethargy? Mm-hmm. Lethargy?
Yeah.
Some listlessness.
Yeah.
Or listless?
Listless. Listfulness? Listlessness.
She was all sloggy, is what she was. She was very sloggy.
She was logy. I like that term, logy. She was logy.
Logy, yes, exactly.
Yeah. Even though when you and I were kids, logy was when you hork up a booger. That was a logy.
Hucking up a logy. No, but this morning, so she plays, but she's really good about her claws, like not having her claws out when she plays. She knows that it's like, all right, I'm whacking you with the pads on my paws and stuff. Mm. However, she can't retract her teeth.
Mm.
And I just want to show the chat room. I mean, I don't know how well you can see.
Oh, look at that.
But this business right here,
it's like bruise.
That was her clamping on and not letting go.
Wow.
Like, I had to pull. It took a little bit to pull my hand off.
Oh, my gosh. That's not good.
Yeah, she gets a little rambunctious when we play.
Yeah. Well, mine too, so far. But right now, he's just mad at me. Not even the dog. So even normally, the dog is chasing her or chasing him and trying to create a ruckus. And, you know, they have their little fights and stuff.
Sure.
But the dog just won't go near her. It's like she knows that things are bad. Like that. Mm-hmm. It's all like an unspoken.
I'm staying away. Thank you very much.
It's like an unspoken animal thing where they're like, I know what you mean. I've been through this. I'm going to leave you alone for a couple of days. Give you your space. Mm-hmm. So they're not even wrestling around, but looking at pictures of cat claws. How do you? So somebody told me yesterday you can trim their claws, but don't remove their claws.
Right. Yeah. Having them declawed is a painful and really unnecessary bit of surgery. But but you're definitely supposed to clip their claws because they can actually curl back in on themselves, to the point where they cut into their own paws and stuff. So you're supposed to trim them on a regular basis. Inara hates it so much, it looks like she is figuring out ways to kill us in our sleep when we do that. Like, she turns into a freaking Tasmanian devil. We have to wrap her in a towel if we want to clip her claws, because she gets so, like, a little switch flips inside her head and she's a demon.
So wait, you can do that. You wrap her in a towel. Is that subdue her, or is that just keep her from clawing you?
No, that just keeps her from killing us.
Okay.
She's just as angry with the towel as she is without the towel. There's no calming, swaddling effect. Usually we actually just schedule a vet appointment for something else and then say, hey, while you've got her, you mind clipping her claws? And then they come back all covered with bandages and stuff, say, all right, done.
So the clipping, does it hurt them? I mean, does it hurt them? You need to bandage those? Like, you have to...
No, she just does not like her paws held for that long and, like, the clippers.
Oh.
It doesn't... As long as you don't cut to the quick, which is, like, inside the claw. I like we've gone from money talk to pet care,
yeah.
But like, if you look at the claw, it's semi-transparent. You can kind of see in there, and you can kind of see a little bit of a red core inside the claw. You want to make sure you don't cut into that red core, because there's nerves and stuff in there. So you want to just cut, like, kind of barely an eighth of an inch off the tip, just to make it so it's not.
Can you use just regular old clippers, or do you have some special?
No,
clippers?
You can get cat clippers. It's far better. They look like pliers, almost, with like a little guillotine hole. It's almost like a little cigar snipper thing, but it looks like pliers. So it's like two offset holes.
Yeah.
And when you pull the handles together,
they slice.
They slice.
All right, I'm going to get some of those today, then. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. It costs you less than $10.
Because he's sharp, dude. I'm sick of the wrestling where I'm getting gouged. So I gotta do that. That's what I'm going to do. All right. Well, look, okay. That ends our next segment on TMS pet care and pet management.
Let's move on to Scott and Brian Explain the Weather.
I'm ready. Jon Favreau, you know him.
I know him. Yeah.
He's director, actor. What else he do? That's it.
He's a swinger.
Yeah, he's a bit of a
swinger. But not in the swinger kind of talk from yesterday, more in the swinger kind of talk with Vince Vaughn.
Yeah. Did you see the podcast that reached out to us, the swinger podcast, and said...
I did.
Swinging's fun or whatever.
Yeah. Average swingers podcast.
Yeah.
Being the swinger's not bad at all, Scott. It's really quite fun. Love the show, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that.
You guys are awesome.
That's great. Good luck to you.
Yeah. And it's an awfully nice shirt, and your wife's really hot.
Hey, I'll bet they're open to it, is all I'm saying. So, Jon Favreau.
I think there was some amateur swinging going on at the old company I used to work for. And I mean amateur, like...
Within the
like
company?
We hired a woman whose first name was Jennifer. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
And we suspect that she and her husband were swingers. And they somehow can, like, they invited the CEO and his wife to dinner, or over to their house for dinner. And I know that things were awkward between all of them the next day. Like, you know, after the weekend, when we saw him on Monday, there was some awkwardness. And the CEO was like, yeah, I don't want to get into it.
That's funny, dude.
I think they might have busted their swinging cherry. But,
yeah, they might have. Wow. I never, as far as I know, that never happened at work, but I do know of one thing that happened at work, a cheater thing that happened.
Oh.
That I apparently kind of walked in on and didn't know I was walking in on.
Oh, geez. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like, there was an act happening and I walked in and didn't know. And I was like, you guys seen where we keep the 2 megabyte memory thing, because I worked at this.
I'm looking for another zip disk. Do you have another zip disk?
That was the
era. I need to store another 100 megabytes of information.
That was the era. You're right on. This is exactly what it was. So
in a piece of equipment the size of a slice of toast.
Yep.
Do you have another one of these that can hold 100 megs and is about the size of a slice of toast?
Is the ISDN down? Is that what's going on? Like, it was that kind of era. And I walked in on a thing.
I need another RS-232 cable. You have one of those wide ones with the little clips on the side that transmits
data. So transmits I see this and I don't know what I'm seeing, and I get my thing and I get out of there, and then I'm later told that I walked in on a bit of an event, and then there was a messy divorce and all that. Yeah. I didn't have anything to do with it other than I'm just like this hapless idiot who happened to walk into the room. But as far as the swinging at work or any of that goes, I don't think we ever had any of that I know of.
Hmm.
But I don't want to think about it, because some of those people
A couple that was different couple, neither the CEO couple or the swinger couple, friends of mine actually, that had sex on my desk because theirs was too messy.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So ever since then, I don't keep a clean desk. I don't know if that's like subconscious on my part, but
yeah. Wait, how did you know they told you they did that?
They confessed. Yeah, they confessed that
there was like
a little chuckling going on, and
I'd not mad, but I'd just be like, oh my gosh, you guys, don't do it on my desk. Go somewhere else.
For the record, I think only one of them was on my desk. They might actually listen to the show. I don't know how much I can say, but
Well, don't say their names, I guess, but good Lord. All right, well, that's a...
Anyway, let's talk about Jon Favreau, huh?
Yeah, Jon Favreau, you know, he's a bit of a swinger. No, he made Swingers, right? Or he was in Swingers, didn't make it.
He made it and was in it. I thought he, he direct Swingers?
Okay, he may have. I forget. I don't remember how that went. That was a long time ago. But he's known to more modern nerd audiences as the director of Iron Man, Iron Man 2, the less than good one. What else?
No, Iron Man 2 was great.
Great.
Iron Man 3 was when they kind of fell from grace.
See, I thought 3 was better than 2. Like a lot better.
With the virus, the whatchamacallit virus that what's her face got?
What, wait, who got a virus?
Turned into like a lava beast? What did I
do? Oh, yeah, no, that who was that? That was
it's what's her face? Pepper Potts. Turned her into like a little
right. I can't think of her name. The one that eats food and then spits it in baby's mouth.
Extremis. That's what it was, Lesarge. Yes, the Extremis virus that
right.
turned her, yeah.
And then you had, who was the bad guy? Was it Guy Ritchie?
Guy Pierce.
Yeah. It was one
I don't
of
know.
The...
I think 2 is better than 3. This could be like the big discussion, but people are saying, yeah, so many people in the chat room are saying 1 is better than 3 is better than 2.
Yeah, that's me for sure.
Tonda Gassa says that. Joe Guyart. Wow, a lot of people not liking 2. Maybe I need to watch it again. Maybe I've forgotten that.
I thought 2 was like universally
two had
considered.
Sam Rockwell, man.
Yeah,
two
but
had,
they, you know, he's great.
People all ticked off that it was the fake Mandarin. Like, it wasn't the real Mandarin. It was Jeremy or whatever his name was.
I don't know that. I don't know. No, that was
like,
3. That was 3, the Mandarin bit. That was in
3. 3 was Mandarin?
Yeah. 3 was Mandarin with the actor we all love who's Gandhi. That guy.
Right.
Robert C. Bottom.
Stop it. You're tearing me apart, Johnson. Oh, 2 was Whiplash, right, with the wrestler.
Yeah. Why can't we think of any names?
Oh, my gosh.
The guy that played the wrestler.
We're trying to think of too many names.
Mickey Rourke, that's
Rourke,
it.
Mickey Rourke, yes, exactly.
Yeah. I liked 2. I didn't hate 2, but I think 2 is the least of the 3, and I thought that was like the universal consensus. So to hear you kind of have the reverse caught me off guard because I thought
maybe
everybody
was that
way.
You know, maybe I'm thinking of Sam Rockwell was in 3, you say?
3, yeah. Sam Rockwell. No, maybe he was in 2.
I thought he was in 2, and I really liked Hammer. Justin Hammer was his name.
Yeah, I like him, but I don't think he makes the move. I mean, he makes everything a little better, but I don't think he makes it that much better.
You had the introduction of Black Widow in 2.
Did
you
we?
Had Don Cheadle kind of stepping into the role of.
Wait a minute, she wasn't introduced in that. She was in Avengers before that.
No, Avengers came after Iron Man 2.
You're right. So she, that's right. But that's
Black Widow making her. It was what's his face? It was Nick Fury saying, "I got a partner I want you to work with. Check out Black Widow. She's really good at stuff.
She's a horse whisperer. Check her out." So, but hold on though, that's great. Yeah. But it's not, I mean, that doesn't make it better. You know what I mean? People like, if it's just a bad movie, it's just great. There's a few cameos. Like, that doesn't fix it for me.
I need to watch it again.
All right, here's our goal. You and I are going to try to track down. Here's what we should do. We should watch all 3 movies at some point on our own and then come back with the new, whatever our new consensus is. And see where we stand. And we'll be honest about it. If I end up liking
you know
two more.
I will totally do that. I will take this experiment and run with it. Watch all 3 Iron Men's.
Yeah.
All right.
And I liked Don Cheadle, but I'd like the other guy better as War Machine. The other guy? Who's the other guy?
Yes. Empire guy.
Yeah. So no names are coming today. None.
Oh, my God. I can't get them either. They're like completely out of my... I'm horrible this morning at remembering names.
Andre Wilson Pickett. That's it. Anyway, yeah, no, he was good, and then he was a pisser off scene, I guess, or back behind the scenes, he was a pain in the butt or whatever, so they got Don Cheadle in there. Terrence Howard. That's it. It was like two first names.
He just doesn't look like a Terrence to me.
He looks like War Machine, damn it. They should have stayed that way.
Right, should have stayed that way.
Anyways, so Jon Favreau.
Holy cow. Jon Favreau, everybody.
So he's made a lot of movies.
I don't know if there's anybody out there who thinks that we just do that on purpose because Pumba was so funny. No, that's all real.
Oh, it's all like, real. This is me 100%. It's mostly me. Brian's usually better at names because he's
usually
a
better
guy.
And boy, my brain is ramen this morning. I don't know what the deal is.
Well, I had ramen yesterday. Maybe that's my problem. Anyway, Jon Favreau.
Let's talk about ramen now. Let's go down that rabbit hole.
So he's in the news because, and he's done other stuff. Jungle Book recently. That was really well received. Did what was the board game in space thing?
It was Zathura.
Zathura. Was him. People seem to be fond of Zathura.
Now tell me, am I remembering this incorrectly? He actually appeared as he's played Iron Man's bodyguard in the movies, but he was also in Daredevil. He was Matt Murdock's law partner, right?
Oh, I think that might be right. Yes.
Did he direct the Daredevil movie with Affleck?
I don't know. We're going to look it up. Jon Favreau, IMDb. Let's just see here. Because obviously...
Foggy Nelson. Exactly, right. Yes.
Yeah, that
so
was
he's
totally
Happy
him.
And Foggy. He's played Happy and Foggy.
Yeah, look at that. That's great. He did Chef, Swingers.
Chef was awesome. He's such a great movie.
He's production level on the new Lion King live action adaptation, but also directing it. I didn't know that. Anyway, so he's doing Lion King.
It was written and directed by Mark Steven Johnson.
Jungle Book, About a Boy. Oh, that was a TV show, not the movie. Episode of The Office. This is a bunch of TV stuff. Let's see. Cowboys and Aliens. Bad movie. Mm-hmm. Iron Man 2. Iron Man. Zathura. Life on Parole. Elf. Oh, he did. He made Elf. That was good. Everyone likes Elf, right? That's a fun little Christmas movie.
I like Elf. Yeah, no, that's a great movie.
Sure.
Maybe I guess he started finding his way more recently. But I mean, Chef was fantastic and...
Yeah,
I mean, Swingers. He wrote Swingers. I thought Swingers was great.
Yeah, and he's acted in tons of stuff as well. Guy's been a busy dude, and I like him. So, good news, everybody.
Yeah,
he has been hired by Disney / Lucasfilm to produce live action television for the new streaming app they're making for Star Wars. So, Star Wars live action Star Wars live television series. We know nothing else about it,
right?
Except that he's going to helm
one,
it. Yeah.
So this is the one that they, or is it? Is it the one that they took? They talked about early on where it was going to take place. It wasn't going to feature any of the regular Star Wars people we knew, but it was going to take place between Episode 6 and Episode 7 or something like that. Like it's
that was the old there was an old project that Jeff or that Kevin Smith was working on that
that's
sounds,
the one. Okay, so that's not going to be this.
Not this. No, in fact, there are zero details as to content other than it's being made and that it will be a part of this. It'll be what Star Trek was to the CBS All Access thing.
Yeah,
that this will be kind of their big thing for their Disney app that will compete with Netflix and everything else. So
interesting.
Interesting.
I'm more likely to stick around with the Disney. I've canceled my CBS All Access, of course, but I might be more inclined to stick with the Disney streaming service between seasons of the Star Wars thing, especially if they have other content. Yeah. You know, I mean, they could put like the some of the Marvel stuff there as far as like the new series that they're working on, Cloak and Dagger, which is going to be on Freeform and, you know, do that kind of thing, but on the Disney service as well and actually have some good content there.
Yeah, I wonder how those contracts work because I don't think they can... The stuff they've done with Netflix is exclusive contract stuff with Netflix, so they can't put it over there, I don't think.
No, but they could certainly do the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're worried about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this being the last season of that, which is a bummer because this has kind of been a fun season with Kree and the future and stuff like that.
I've been a bad nerd. I haven't seen a single episode of that show.
It's been a roller coaster for that show. Like a good season and then like a season and a slog and then another really good season and then like...
That bums me out
because every time I think I'm going to start watching it, someone will say, oh, we're on a poo season. And I go, well, I don't want to even start it if there's a poo season.
Yeah.
And then then someone says, oh, no, it's really good right now. You should watch it. And then I'm like, okay, maybe I'll finally crack that open. But I've still never seen a single second of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It just would be better if they had a little bit more freedom, I think, and a little bit more flexibility and a little bit more of a tie to the Marvel Universe, because it still just feels like a, oh, hey, we know all that Avengers stuff is going on over there. We're not going to go ahead and interact with any of them. We're just going to try and solve this problem with a bunch of people, only two of which have any superpowers. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird choice, isn't it? A little bit.
It really is. Yeah.
Anyway, that's a deal, and I'm excited. Yeah. So I was going to produce Star Wars live action television series, which is something we thought we might never get, but it looks like we might finally actually
get.
It'll
be really interesting to see how they do it. I mean, they would almost have to do it like a Discovery type thing that has connections to the existing Star Wars universe and maybe has appearances by Star Wars folks, but is a self-contained. I like the idea of a Rebel Academy series.
Oh, I just want some like, I want some dark, you know,
Sith action. Some
not so much Sith. I want like, in fact, I don't even care if you put the Force in it. What I want is like on the street, gritty smuggler stuff.
Oh yeah, right. There you go.
I want that. I want the underbelly of the universe of the galaxy.
Dark Tales of Coruscant or something like that.
I don't necessarily need another hero's journey. You know.
Yeah.
From orphan to epic Jedi man. I don't need that again. Leave that in the movies. That's fine. Keep doing what you're doing there. That's great. But for a television show, give me world building, because that's what I want more out of Star Wars right now than just the tropes.
Yeah.
There's tons of tropes I already know, but expand on, like, I don't know, what's it like in the crappy parts of Coruscant? What's it like to...
See, that could be a good thing, right? Like, that could be a good way to do it, is actually have stories on Coruscant, you know, Coruscant CSI or something like that.
Yeah, have it be a crime story. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be something. It can't just be, hey, we're trying to do Star Wars in a TV show. You've got to make it a genre. It's the whole reason Marvel's been so successful. Make it like a Coruscant heist story or a Coruscant CSI or Coruscant ER.
Or any planet. I don't care. Just
right,
and,
sure.
And make some compelling characters and go for it. Like, I want them to really go for it and not be too nervous about it straying too far from the normal Star Wars routine.
Right,
so
I like that.
We'll see. Now, you've written something here that says marshmallow blocks. I don't know what that is.
No. I put stuff in here to be vague because I don't want you to just read it and basically spill all my candy in the lobby.
All right.
All right, you got a box of Super Mario Lucky Charms or whatever it's called, right?
Yeah.
The Super Mario cereal?
I have the empty box somewhere here, yeah.
Have you rubbed it on your Switch yet?
Yes, I got... So I used it for Super Mario...
Odyssey.
Yeah. And it just showed me where a hidden star was or a hidden moon was.
Is that all it does?
Yeah.
Okay,
well, that's
so
all it did
just
in
like
that
any
game.
Other...
I don't know about other games, but that's the one thing. Now, what would really have been cool... And I'll say this to my grave, if that thing would have worked with Mario Kart in a way that would have given me a cart in the shape of the cereal box.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I'm annoyed. That's a missed opportunity. They totally missed an opportunity.
Or a new power-up that dumps cereal all over one of the other players.
Yeah. Replace that squid ink thing with something cool like cereal flying in your face. But it didn't do that. It bummed me out.
See, that's awesome. That would be fantastic.
Yeah,
yes.
Bummed me out. So.
Let me be Luigi driving around in a box of cereal.
Yeah, just a little box. Put a couple wheels on it.
Marshmallow tires or something.
Yeah. Like, I'd be all into that, but they didn't do that. So I'm a little bummed out about the kind of amiibo it is. It's not fancy. It's just a little NFC chip that just does like the rest of them do. So.
Listen, you and I, there's a huge missed opportunity. We need to be the idea men for all these different companies. We have great ideas for casinos. We have great ideas for video games. Mm-hmm. We have great ideas for cereal. We have great ideas for movies and TV shows.
Yeah.
How do we expand the TMS empire into pitchmen?
We don't know. We know no bounds or limits. So if you're if you'd like
what you need to do. You're looking for a good game crossover? How about a version of Pokemon Go where you're the Ghostbusters and you're looking for ghosts?
did you see that they're doing a Jurassic Park?
Yes.
Jurassic World version of Pokemon
Go?
Yeah,
it seems smart. to do that.
It's a brilliant one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's a good one. The Harry Potter one they're working on is a good idea.
Harry Potter sometime soon. I swear the best idea out there, though, is Marvel. You know, you're an ace reporter, photographer for the Daily Bugle, mm-hmm. and you've got to go capture superheroes out in the wild with your camera.
Oh my gosh, just sitting up on a building, there's Spider-Man up there. And you
exactly,
just look at it, yeah.
Right. AR is like, oh, check it out. There's the Hulk, you know, stopping some guys from robbing a bank or something like that.
Yeah, I'd totally be into that. Totally be into that. In fact, that's what they need to do so that you... let me tell you guys something.
So that I can shut up about it?
It's not. No. I was going to say, the reason Brian plays Pokemon Go so much isn't because it's Pokemon.
Right. I could give two craps about a Jigglypuff.
Yeah, who cares about that? What you care about is the loop of it. Like, what you're doing is a cool thing. Exactly. It's technology-based and all that. So bring us something that isn't a bunch of weird Japanese globs with wings on them. And we're in. I'd be way more into this. In fact, they're making a sequel to the thing that came before Pokemon that the same company made? What's it called? Ingress?
Oh, Niantic Ingress, yeah, right.
Ingress 2, they're going to launch a brand new Ingress that's like learned a bunch of stuff from the Pokemon experience, which means it'll probably be a better game because the first one was kind of obtuse and weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That'd be great. Yeah, see?
I'm all for
that. By the way. I told this story on the Pokemon Go podcast. I wanted to save telling the story initially for that. And I'll be really quick because I know it's already 20 minutes still and we got news to get to. But yeah. So while I was in Florida, there are two regional Pokemon that you can only get in South America. But because of where they put the latitude line, you can get them in South Florida and South Texas. Mm. And it's the Corsola, which is a little coral. Looks like a piece of coral. Get back in the house, coral. It looks like a piece of coral. And then there's the Heracross, which is like a big blue beetle. Like a bug looking thing.
Mm.
Out there for 7 days, saw one or two of each and managed to get them. Like, it was like, all right, finally got these. Mm. Well, in the airport flying back, I was going to kind of take a look and see what the IV levels, the values, the attack and defense values were of these. Find my Corsola. I'm looking at it. It's like, oh, this one's pretty good. Okay, cool. I actually managed to get 3 Corsolas over the course of the week. Then I went to go look for my Heracross, and it was gone.
Oh.
Like, I know I'd caught it. I took a screenshot and sent it to the guys saying, look at this, I caught it.
Yeah.
All I can figure is when I was cleaning out space because I was catching so much stuff out there with the Pokemon Go Plus button pushing thing.
Oh, no.
All I can figure is that I was clearing out stuff. I was catching stuff at the same time, and it shifted stuff around when I thought I was clicking on a Pidgey to get rid of. I think I clicked on the Heracross and deleted it.
Oh, no. That sucks. I mean, you couldn't really do anything if they did it. What are you going to do?
I can't restore it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a bummer, dude.
Whatever. It's in my Pokedex. I've got record that I caught. It's all that matters, but it's a bummer.
It's a good reminder that everything we have is not real and not ours.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And all I can do is laugh. That's ha, right. Ha, ha, I deleted it.
Can't take any of your digital shit to heaven when you go.
You can't take it with you. You can't take the Heracross with you.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Before we go too much further, so Brian and I got to test these Bissell bark baths. And Bissell, you're like, oh, Bissell, the carpet cleaner people. Yeah. I know them. I have a carpet cleaner from them. Well, did you know they make this thing called a bark bath? Bathing your dog is a huge pain in the butt. And in the winter, you can't clean them outside. Messy bathroom, you got a big shaggy dog, time to clean up all that hair and mel. That's such a mess. And if you take him to a groomer, well, that adds up. That gets pretty expensive. So the Bissell bark bath allows pet parents is what we're going to call you, to bathe your pet with virtually no mess, eliminating the inevitable cleanup that comes along with washing our 4-legged family members. It's an all-in-one system, can be used in any room of the house, anytime, with a minimal mess. The bark bath works with any length fur. Any animal you want. My dog has hardly any fur. And then we've got some folks we know with like a really shaggy dog. We're going to let them use this as well. Kind of look it on the other side and see how the shaggy dog fares. I can tell you it worked really well for ours. Specially designed nozzles get beneath the fur and down to the skin. The true source of the stink. And this allows water and shampoo to wash the skin clean. While a soft suction pulls dirt and water away into a separate dirty water tank. It's really that simple. My only freak out my dog did was while quiet, it kind of has a little bit of a hum. So when you run it, she hates anything that sounds like a vacuum. So I had to get her used to that. Once she did, it was fine. And the bark bath uses less than 48 ounces of water, by the way. That's up to like an 80-pound dog or something. Compare that to a traditional bathing in a tub. You'll use like 19 gallons of water to clean your dog. That's crazy. We had a great experience with it. I can't wait for some friends to try it, and I think you're going to like it as well. Here's what I want you to do. Visit Bissell.com/TMS to learn more and buy your own very own bark bath. And when you use the coupon code TMS, you get 2 bottles of this free no-rinse shampoo with your order. That's crucial and key to the whole experience. And it didn't bother her at all. Even got a little in her eyes, and she acted like it was nothing. That's Bissell.com, Bissell.com/TMS, and use the coupon code TMS at checkout. We thank them for supporting the show.
All right.
All right. Well, let's get some news going.
Yeah, we may as well.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by.
There will be dungeons every Saturday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern, live at frogpants.tv. Or get the podcast, the YouTube archive, or however you want to consume it. It's D&D taken to a new level. That's There Will Be Dungeons, Dungeons, at therewillbedungeonsdungeons.com.
therewillbedungeons.com, that's right. And there be dungeons on Twitter, because it was too long to do it on Twitter. Or it was almost there will be dung if we did it on Twitter.
That's even better. There will be dung.
There will be dung. That's right where it stopped.
That's my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie. There will be dung.
But I keep having people come.
Drink your manure.
I keep having people come to me from TMS and saying, "Hey, I love TMS. I'm so excited about your D&D show. When's the podcast version?" I'm like, "It was from day one." So I don't know why people don't know that. So go to therewillbedungeons.com. Therewillbedungeons.com, and you'll find it all right there.
Sure. But make sure you go watch the video version, because the video version is.
A hoop.
100 times more fun. I mean, the audio is great, I'm sure. I haven't listened to just his audio, but watching with video and seeing you guys on there, it's way better.
It's way fun. We having a blast, as I like to say. Coca-Cola, you familiar with the brand?
I'm familiar. I've heard of this Coca-Cola of which you speak.
Yeah, they've been around for a little while.
Their dynamic ribbon device.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. They're always busy doing something. And one of the world's most famous soft drink companies, that is to say Coca-Cola, is diving into another arena with plans to launch its first alcoholic beverage.
Interesting.
Japan first. That's where they're doing it. Coca-Cola creating...
They're tired of being the and Coke after all the other liquors. Right. Jack and Coke, vodka and Coke, rum and Coke.
I hadn't thought of that. That's probably true.
We're tired of being the ride along. We're tired of being the mixer.
Yeah, everyone's just using you inside of other drinks. Let's see. They're creating a low alcohol canned drink to be launched in Japan, where an Alcopop drink called Chuhi is thriving. I've never heard of Chuhi.
I haven't either.
It's made by, let's see, mixing carbonated water with Japanese liquor Shochu. And adding flavors like kiwi, lime, or lemon. Jorge Gardino. Do you think I got that right?
Sounds French. Yeah. I think that's a French.
I don't think I got that right. He is the president of Coca-Cola Japan, said the company is trying to push the boundary in new ways. Quote, "We haven't experimented in the low alcohol category before, but it's an example of how we continue to explore opportunities outside our core areas." That's his voice. As for bringing the concept to the United States or other places around the world, he says it is not likely, at least not yet. Now, that's interesting.
Huh. Yeah, no kidding.
I'll bet you here in the States there'd be like some blowback from lots of groups that Coca-Cola, this Americana brand. Of
quote-unquote wholesome brand. And
sure.
It's gonna be
kids out drinking Coke. They're going to want to go get Coke, Alka-Coke or whatever.
And I know, yeah.
You'd drink it, though. You'd try this.
I would drink it, sure. I'd probably even try it as a mixer. I'd try it on its own first and then say, okay, this will be better with rum or vodka added or something like that.
When they say low alcohol category...
They just don't want the name Coke to be associated with anything that could cause, you know, hallucinations or addictions or...
Yeah. Coke, we never want Coke to be connected to...
We never want Coke to be, like, connected with drugs or anything like that. So let's not...
Big piles of powdery white substances or any of that.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is the category would be like what, Zima and like hard lemonade, that kind of thing?
Probably, yes, exactly. Okay. Where it's probably on the lines of Smirnoff Ice, where it's like it's not a straight beer or liquor. It's a gateway alcohol drink.
Gotcha.
What you drink when you're just starting drinking.
So we took the kids, I shouldn't say we, Kim did, but she took the kids to the liquor store the other day. Now you're going to say, what is this about, Scott? Why is your wife taking your children to the liquor store?
To find out.
They, and Carter will have to correct me if I'm wrong because she listens and she's probably, I probably have this wrong because I can't remember which project it's for, but they had to get it for either a cooking thing or Carter. I think Carter's making vanilla. And to make vanilla, real vanilla, you need vodka, I guess. Did you know that was a thing? I had no idea.
I've never heard of that. Like to make vanilla extract.
Extract, right? Sorry. Yes, extract.
Yeah, because you start with the vanilla bean and then you soak it, you infuse it with vodka, but I think that would still retain its alcohol properties, wouldn't it? Unless you boil it. Maybe that's what they're doing.
I don't know.
Boil the alcohol out of it.
That's a really good question. And that's probably right. But they had to go in there to do that. I can't remember what they went in for the other day, though. It may have been two separate trips. But it's funny to take, you know, your 17-year-old into a liquor store, which is legal as long as the parent, you know, if you're the guardian, you can do that. But they were like, they had never really been in one of those places. And Nick's just like, that's the weirdest place. It's just wall-to-wall bottles and stuff and everything.
Well, yeah.
And here in Utah, it's a state liquor store. I don't know how it is in Colorado. How do you guys do it there? Is it independent stuff? Is it all run by the state? Like,
it's all independent stuff, yeah. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, Bob's Liquor Hut and Triangle Liquors and the big one is Applejack Liquors. That place is massive. It's like the size of a full-on grocery store. It might have even been a grocery store at one time. And it is just aisles and aisles of every kind of alcohol you can imagine. So many like international things. They've got the Dan Aykroyd skull vodka there, and you know, it's kind of cool actually.
It's like the Cabela's of alcohol outlets.
It is, right, exactly. Yeah. Yes,
here in Utah it's completely state run, so it's like Pennsylvania and other there are other states that do this, and we're not the only ones. But state alcohol basically makes them look like reject 7-Elevens. It's just it's a shitty looking, it's just like a big cinder block looking, no marketing. It's just state liquor store.
Oh,
and
you go
in there and there's, you know,
is that what they're called too? Just state liquor store?
I think it's just straight up state liquor store.
Well, I imagine the state probably controls the prices, so you don't get a better deal by going two blocks over to another one.
Yeah. So I can't think of any other states, but there's a bunch of states that do this. Good News 11 says some of the Utah liquor stores are pretty nice, though. I mean, I don't frequent them that often, so you may be right. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But there are a few other states that do it as well. Anyway, the best one is the Beaver in Beaver, Utah. They have a liquor Beaver store liquor down there. So you say, I need to go to the Beaver liquor store.
Yep. I hear that they play poker in the back.
And they got rid. I told you, got rid of that sign. That's because there's Fillmore, and then there's Beaver, and the next exit.
Right. Fillmore Beaver.
And they used to have a sign that said Fillmore Beaver exit whatever, and they got rid of it. People complained about it. It's pretty good. Anyway, there's your blue. That's your blue entertainment.
There you go. We've injected a little TMSPM into this too.
Yeah, why not? Made it. Oh, we missed this yesterday, so I'm going to do it today. Man made his son run to school for being kicked off the bus for bullying.
Oh, right. I saw the video of this.
Yeah. It's a Virginia father. Says his son was kicked off the bus for 3 days after, for bullying. So this kid was picking on some other kid or other kids. Mm-hmm. He, the dad, as punishment, made him run to school instead of taking the bus, made him run in the rain. Father advocated for old school, simple parenting in several Facebook videos that show the boy running. Brian Thornhill's Facebook Live video recorded while driving behind his son was viewed more than 1.6 million times. Thornhill said the joke is the boy will either be fast or obedient. But so far we're just working on fast. Some people are pissed about this.
I know. And
I'm not pissed at all about this. I think that this
either.
Is fine.
I think, you know, bullying is such a big issue. And this is a very non-violent way to deal with that. And I don't think it's like, you know, it's not cruel and unusual to make your kid run to jog.
No. And this, like, chat room says, Cyber Bacon says, teach your kid not to bully people by bullying him. He's not bullying his son. He's punishing his son. You're supposed to do that when you're a parent. If they screw something up, You punish them. You show them. That doesn't mean you beat the shit out of them and leave them for dead. I'm not saying that.
Right. Right.
But you know what? The kid's going to remember this. It's like when my brother Mark refused to do his chores around the house, one of which was clean up the dog poop in the backyard. So my dad went and gathered it all up in a Glad trash bag before he got home from a football game, went into his room, pulled back the sheets, dumped all the dog poo in his bed, and then put the sheets all tucked back in. So my brother got home, he went home. It's like midnight. He's tired. He's sweaty. He just played this game. Geez. Pulls open the bed covered in dog poo. He was so pissed. But man, he never screwed that up again.
I'm sure. Oh my God. Okay. I think that's... I feel like there's... You could clean those sheets forever, and at some point you're going to get pink eye from just being in that vicinity.
Pretty sure I think my mom threw him out. I could be wrong, but I have some memory of her being part of the punishment, but then saying, okay, well, we're throwing this out after we're done or something.
Yeah. And basically if I were to say, maybe here's the part you probably shouldn't have done, is the live Facebook video of him doing it. I mean, you know, discipline your son however you want. I think maybe the humiliation or the whatever of putting it on Facebook. Number one, you're inviting trolls, and you're inviting people who disagree with you to make comments about your parenting skills. But number two, it just doesn't belong there. It's like, are you doing this for you, or are you doing this for likes? Or are you doing this for your son?
Yeah. You know? It's for me, if I found out Nick was bullying some kid, I'd want to be pretty harsh about it. Mm-hmm. That's one of the last things on this planet I ever want to hear or see or find out that Nick is doing.
Getting bullied by a kid on the school bus, I would have done whatever, bought a fruit basket for his dad if he would have handled it this way. Well,
and a lot of parents just kind of are not, it's not my kid, not my, I don't think he, it probably wasn't his fault. Right. Some other kid did it. I hear that all the time from parents who don't stand up to their own kids who bully. I say hats off to this guy. He didn't hurt him. Nothing going to hurt the kid. Heck, make him jog to school. That's a pain in the ass. And it's probably going to be a thing that he's going to remember that, because he doesn't want to ever do that again. Like, this is not cruel and unusual punishment. Right. And if you think I'm lying, then unfriend me.
I mean, a couple people are saying, like, Joe Mama 44 says, but isn't that just the parent being the bigger guy picking on the kid and posting it for the world to see? I think if it was a punishment that was intended for humiliation, and that's why I think the argument against him putting on Facebook is a valid one. I don't think he should be putting on Facebook, because that does bring in the humiliation factor, and that does, you know, do the kind of the thing that bullying does, which is to humiliate the victim. Yeah. I think just having him run, because hey, for that mile, guess what he's going to be thinking about the way he treated that kid on the bus that he was bullying.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I don't know why he filmed it. That's dumb. Or just film it for yourself so you can laugh at it when he's 30. But sure. But putting it on Facebook is stupid.
I think it's a story you can tell his grandkids or something.
Yeah,
or
that's fine. Later on. That's fine. You know, like this story, like my brother.
And then he became an Olympic runner, and that's the rest of the story.
He won 3 gold medals that year.
Right.
For me, like the poo story for my brother, it will always be this legendary story in the family about his bed being full of dog poo. Mm-hmm. But at the time, it also taught my brother a lesson, and it was a nonviolent, way to handle it. And it really worked. I don't think that making the kid run is abusive. And come at me, bro, if you disagree, chat room. All right, there's that story. How about this one? Amazon has a fix for the Echo's creepy laughing. Did your Echo laugh for no reason over the last few days?
It did not, and I'm glad. No, mine just cries every once in a while.
Yeah, just a little tear.
Just little sobs of...
I have a capture of this.
Really? Oh, good. I wanted to hear what this sounds like.
This is the sound it made. Here we go. That's it.
That's awesome.
So every once in a while, people's echoes, and it was reported by multiple people, recorded by multiple people, their echoes would just suddenly, out of nowhere, without any prompting, would go, which is not even her voice, really. I don't know what that is. It doesn't sound like her, anyway.
It sounds like Rachel Ray.
A little bit. Oh, I put the butter with the oh, shit, I burned the butter.
Exactly.
So
it's a little weird.
It's a little weird. They say they acknowledged it, and they say they have a fix for it. So they say we are aware of the problem and we're working on a fix. That was yesterday. Later in the day, they said the planned fix will involve disabling the phrase, the A word, laugh. Because if I do it right now, I'm gonna mute myself so I don't set off everybody's thing. But here we go.
All right.
Laugh. Yep, she quit doing it. She won't do it.
Oh, so she's not doing it at all.
That's their fix.
All right, do the second phrase then.
Let's see. Second phrase is A word, can you laugh? Okay, here we go.
Uh-oh.
Can you laugh? Can you laugh? She's listening to me and not replying. I don't know why she's not answering me.
That was weird. Like, you froze for me right before you did the second phrase.
Oh, I did?
Phrase.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
That's not good. All right, let me try this again. Let me try this one more time. Can you laugh? Okay, now she goes, sure, I can laugh. Tee-hee, she'll say.
Huh. Interesting. All right.
So they've tweaked it so that it won't do it anymore. But I what I'm weirded out about is the not prompting. Like, why would it just suddenly go like, you know?
Yeah, that is weird, just out of the blue.
Yeah.
I mean, we get ours every once in a while. Somebody will say something on a TV show we're watching that triggers her to say, I don't know the answer to that question. Right?
Right.
Like,
I get that all the time.
That's really weird. Comadoo 76. When it scrolls, it's really hard to read. Plus, it's in pink.
Yeah.
Said it would be great if they had the Marissa Meyer laugh in there. I think that would. I say don't fix the laughter problem. Just change it to Marissa Meyer, and we'll all be good.
Yeah, that'd be all right. Let's do that. I'd be
Alexa,
into that.
Like all of a sudden, go
just out of nowhere.
Just out of nowhere.
See what's scary about it. This is what I was talking to Sarah Lane on DTNS about this yesterday. Tom was out of town, so we were doing the show alone, and she says she has her Echo right next to her bed on her what's that called over there? Your
nightstand?
Nightstand, yeah. Uh-huh. For alarms and music and whatever. Great place for it, actually. I think it's a fine place to put your Echo. And imagine
those new Echo Dots right? That's got the little ball-shaped one with the screen on it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a good one. It's like an actual clock for the rest of the time.
Yeah, exactly.
But to have any of those just suddenly go "Bear!" in the middle of the night would scare the hell out of you. You think
did Sarah say that's happened to her? Has she heard it or
no? She hadn't heard it, but she says she'd have been pissed had she heard it. She'd have been mad that they could do that because it makes you feel like it's listening all the time. Well, I guess it is listening all the time, but it makes you think it's
listening all the time.
Creepy clown laugh coming out of its butt.
That's the laugh. Yeah, how about that one?
It was in the house the whole time. It says.
Anyway. This just in, and I'm looking for further information on this. David Chase is involved announcing that he is going to be writing a Sopranos prequel movie.
Shut up.
I'm dead serious.
You're right. Look at this. Sopranos prequel.
Cinema. So not even on HBO. It's going to be on New Line Cinema.
The Many Saints of Newark, it's called.
Yeah.
David Chase, ready to return to New Jersey turf and his iconic creation of Sopranos. The script was written by Chase and Lawrence Connor. Prolific screen and television writers' credits include The Sopranos, finally returning to expand the Sopranos lore. Oh, I'm into this.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, dude. Hold on, let's see. They don't have a cast yet. Okay, I'm very excited. I don't know what that means, like Young Tony probably or something?
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Hey, Carmella. Carmella.
I wish he was still alive. That guy was so great.
No. Oh, James Gandolfini.
Shouldn't have died,
lost it,
man.
Too soon.
Not cool. All right. Well, that's some
Carmella, you're making some gabagool today.
Final story. Final story. Hartford police say a man drove a stolen car to court to face his stolen car charge.
Oh,
great.
Well, that's a...
It's pretty good.
That may have been an unfortunate decision. Yeah.
Hartford man, due in court to answer a charge of stealing a car. Apparently stole a car to get to court. It's not the same car, different car.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
I didn't steal that car, Your Honor, but this one I stole.
Yeah. Jonathan Riviera. I wish he was driving a Riviera.
Oh, look at Jonathan Riviera. You have a name, Jonathan, and he probably goes by Johnny. Johnny Riviera. Probably...
Do you see,
just grows up to be a car thief.
Do you see Trump's fake name for his porn star get-together deal that he made up?
Oh, please tell me it was
it's David,
Carlos Spicy Wiener.
It's I wish. It's David Dennison. Excuse me, David Dennison.
David Dennison?
Yep, and she had a fake name on there as well for this agreement. And she's suing.
Stormy Daniels is her real name?
No, what's funny is she has a real name. Stormy Daniels is already a fake name. And yeah, in this Hush she's Money
alternate.
Deal, alternate name.
An alternate ego.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. David Dennison. President Dennison, everybody.
Hello, I'm David Dennison. I have the best uses for 1 hour in a hotel room.
The best. It'll be tremendous.
I bring the best rubber sheets.
Yeah, apparently she's suing him. And there's somebody was saying the brilliance of the suit is it leaves him only two options. One is, I forgot how it went. Basically, it's just you. Either way, he's forced to admit there was an affair and that there was a cover-up because the way it was handled is like illegal. That's the claim. But there's nowhere in this, in the lawsuit, where he can stand up and say, I didn't do it.
Sure.
I forget what the deal is, but some lawyer was like, it's like a genius suit. Like, it's super smart.
Wow.
Lawsuit, which is, I mean, a porn star suing the president of the United States. Genius lawsuit.
You know which fake name I wish he would have used?
What?
Donald Trump Jr.
He just threw it on one of his kids. I'm Eric. Hi, I'm Eric. This is.
I'm here to get my hotel room.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. What's your name?
Donald Trump Jr.
Jr. Who are you meeting here?
Eric Ivanka. Eric Trump.
Her name's Ivanka. And. Oh, my gosh. I love that idea. Throw your kid under the bus. Now, that would be cruel punishment.
That would be. Yes, exactly.
Anyway, this guy showed up in a stolen car, and you probably shouldn't do that. So, anyway, he'll probably get double charged. We're going to take a break. When we come back, call now. That's right. Your calls, asking anything you want, live on the show, and we are hell-bent to answer them. But we're not doing that until we play some music. What do you got?
Music for you and for all of you. All right, if you like bands like 21 Pilots and Dashboard Confessional and Panic at the Disco, I even throw a little bit of Black Keys in this, I think you're going to like what you're about to hear. And the good news is these guys are about to launch. Actually, today is the first day of a tour that they are starting with the band Vespertine. If you are in any of the following cities, I don't usually do this, but I just want to make sure people get out and see. Wow, there's a lot of cities in this list. Let's say the first, I'm going to do the first dozen or so. Des Moines, Kansas City, Omaha, Inglewood, Colorado, Dallas, Texas, Tulsa. They're playing at South by Southwest. Then Houston, Jacksonville, Tampa, Orlando, Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera. The list goes on. They are probably coming to a city near you. Make sure to go check out their website. The name of the band is Vinyl Theater. And go check out their website, vinyltheater.com, in case you always flip-flop the I and the Y like I tend to do every once in a while.
Mm.
Vinyl Theater is the name of the band. This is the first single from their upcoming album. It's called Feel It All. Make sure to go check them out on their big tour going on from today all the way until May 3rd, including a couple shows at South by Southwest. These guys are great. Here is Vinyl Theater.
Break me down, but I don't fall. In these days when the cost of everything is up, it's certainly great to own a 50 Ford. For I found that my new Ford V8 gives me everything I'd expect to find in an expensive car for amazingly little money. And in addition to being a low-cost car to buy, I find my Ford is mighty economical to own. I get 20 miles to a gallon and spend very little for upkeep. My money sure goes a lot further since I've owned a 50 Ford.
Smart people know that no one is safe from B.O.
Work at Attila to Midnight? This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. One of your better selections in the last while, I think. I loved it.
Thanks. Good. Glad you like that. And, really, you know, it's funny. Somebody just asked me in the chat room, band name again? I typed Vinyl Theater. I did type I-N-Y-L, V-I-N-Y-L. I did that part right, but it's theater with an R-E as opposed to an E-R. So, Vinyl Theater is the name of the band. Really cool stuff. Like that. That song's been in my head ever since I started listening to it.
Vinyl Theatre.
Vinyl Theatre.
All right, suckers. It's time for us to. It's time for us to do more.
Ooh, even
yeah,
more.
Yeah, and I even have a. Oh, whoops! I did that wrong. Hold on. I typed I was looking for the clip for Call Now, and I looked for Call More, which is not right. Anyway, it's
Call Now.
It's Call Now. This is a chance for you guys to call in and talk to us. Got any question at all? We're here to answer it. 801-285-9395. Wendy's at a women's conference thing for Women's Day, or what's it called? It's not Women's Day.
International Women's Day.
International yes. Women's Day, that's right. And that's happening now, and I don't know where she is. I know there's like celebratory whatever happening kind of all over the place, but she's in some city in Sweden helping with some organizing, whatever. She's always very charitably minded and is always doing this stuff, and so I should have known.
That's so cool.
But good. I emailed good her last her. Night, and I said, hey, Winnie, what's going on? She says, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm doing a women's thing. While we wait for these calls coming to us at 801-285-9395, Brian, did you know that McDonald's has changed all their M's to be upside down? So for Women's Day, it all has the golden arches
really?
The other way. Yeah.
Boy, that must have been an expensive proposition at the all their signage, outdoor signage.
I agree. Maybe pay the cook a little more money than spending time out there
did
flipping the thing.
Do they do it on their website? Like, I'm looking...
I thought some of the stores...
Oh, they totally did. Look at that.
Yeah they flopped them.
Their logo on the website they did.
Isn't that crazy? It's weird.
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
It's Tommy O.
Hello, Tommy O.
Tommy
How are you?
O.
How's it going?
Not too bad.
Sweet. What's on your mind?
What I'd like to know is why whenever people announce Kickstarters, they never tell you what they're asking for.
Oh, interesting. You mean
how much money they're asking for?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I can answer
want.
This one.
Okay, Brian, go ahead.
Because I'm in the process I just did video last weekend for a new Kickstarter for a show that I'm launching with Scott Johnson and Nicole and Justin Robert Young and Hammond Chamberlain and Tom Merritt. Mm-hmm. More information to come. But anyway, the whole reason is because we're pretty sure we know the amount that we need, but that number might change between the time I finish editing the video and the time that the Kickstarter launches, because we're still in the process of figuring out all the stuff that is part of it. Usually the video is done, recorded in advance, far advance from when the Kickstarter page is launched and figured out.
Right, but the page itself always says what you're aiming for. So what my thing is always like, well, if you tell them where to go, whatever web URL you give, they're going to see that right away. And so on your end, if something needs to change or whatever, you can still kind of make that change without announcing it. So I think that's probably generally it. Go ahead.
Sadly, some of us are blind.
Oh, yeah, right. Blind people. Oh. All right, here's what we need. We need the follow-up announcements after the decision has been made. Then we can start doing it. We can say...
Well, let me ask you this. Yeah. I mean, you've got, for the browser that you use, do you have a... What do they call that? Like a predictive text, but like a text reader that reads you the H1s on the page?
No. It's all type in a bunch of stuff and hope for the best.
Wow.
Oh gosh.
So
okay.
Tune into the page. It takes like 2 hours, and if I get lucky, I hear it, or that's it.
Wow.
I don't get it.
All right. Look.
Well.
Yeah.
Then just for just for the Kickstarter that I'm working on, the money we're looking for is $1 million. But,
$1 million.
It may be a different amount that people see on the on the site. But
well, that's good. Let's check in that next week and see how that goes. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello.
This is Rob.
Oh, hello, Rob.
Hello, Stop. Rob.
How are you,
Brian? I have a confession to make.
Yeah, what do you got?
Oh,
I love
gosh,
you
confession.
Guys.
Oh, is that your
I
confession?
Love you guys so much.
Do you love us? Oh my gosh! All right, keep going.
You guys are amazing.
Okay.
Keep doing what you're doing.
All right. This is.
I'm waiting. There's a butt. There's a butt coming. I know there's a butt coming.
No, he hung up. That was the butt.
Oh. Oh well, thank you, Rob. That was very nice of you.
That was nice of him. Yeah. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Hello. Aww. You're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, hey, hang on a second.
You're fine. I can hear
the volume to go down here.
It's all good. He's trying to kill our feed. Right. And this is good. Yeah, this is what you should do, people. This is good.
Hey, this is the senior geek here.
Oh, hey, Gary. Yes.
Hey, Gary. How are you? It didn't sound like you at first.
Maybe it's because I'm on my new AirBuds. But anyway, AirPods, whatever they're called.
You're on your AirBuds. He's on his new AirBuds, the dog that plays basketball. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love that little golden retriever.
Yeah, I don't know what you young kids call these things anymore.
It's fine. AirPods is the answer, but go ahead, yeah.
I just had a question for Coverville.
Sure.
You know, when we were sitting there in the bar in downtown Disney, and we spent way more money than we expected.
By the way, please, call me Mr. Coverville. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, sure.
Mr. Coverville.
Yeah, so we were sitting in the bar in downtown. I remember that well.
We were waiting to see if Randy would show up.
Yeah,
and right. We wound up spending way more money than we expected, and we split. But you could have just picked up the tab and written that off because it was a business trip.
I could. I still have to pay for it. I just pay less taxes on it.
Yeah,
I get reimbursed for it.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you a hard time and doing a little humble brag that, I sat around with Brian.
You could have picked up the tag.
3 hours.
You could have picked up the tab because I'm a big star.
Yeah. Yeah. Big Brian, you should have paid.
You weren't yet fully at Disney. You were still in the interview stages, if I remember correctly. Or
his call just lost. I don't know what happened to it.
Oh, okay. Well, he's probably still listening to me out there, but...
I don't know how these kids and their internet works.
No, I think when I was out there in August, when I met him for drinks in downtown Disney, I think... he had not yet gotten the job at Disney, and I think he had gone through the interview process, and I think it was just a matter of days before he got it. But
yeah, it didn't happen until even after I left in early September, whatever it was, when I was down there. Same trip, right? Wasn't that when you and I saw each other? Yeah.
Yeah. You guys got the sports car and
Yeah, that was awesome.
Went to Disney yourself.
Hello, who's this? Who do we have on the line?
Hey, it's Josh.
Hello, Josh. What's going on?
Hey, Josh.
Not much, man. Hey, just wanted to ask you guys, oh, this is Cyber Bacon, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, it's Josh, the Mayu, Josh.
Yeah, the Mayus, brand new dad the with the new baby, and the now you're playing man-to-man defense, all that stuff, it's great.
All good. Hey, I just want to ask you guys what you guys' plan is going to be for replacing the Nerdtacular. So I know you guys are doing the individual meetups every once in a while, but is there going to be like an established schedule or like locations that start signing up for?
It won't be any kind of like set schedule necessarily. This thing we're doing in Vegas, I'd like to see become a kind of a yearly little retreat thing.
Little annual deal. And yeah. BlizzCon's always annual, so there's that.
Those two are locked for sure. Things, yeah. Those are always locked, and those are going to be definitely part of this. But as far as other stuff in between, that's really not determined yet. I don't know for sure. There's, you know, there may be a year where, I was talking the other day about this, there may be a year where, like, you know what, perfect year to have a big blowout Nerdtacular level thing again. And right. Then another year might be more just smaller stuff scattered around. But nothing like some hard schedule or whatever.
Look for the Current Geek event to be held in Stevens Point, Wisconsin on January 8th, 2019.
Stevens Point. I'd love that. Do you pull that randomly out of the sky? Is that what you just did?
That's where Crazy Neighbor's from.
Oh, all right. I like that.
I just know that, like, you know, in January in Stevens Point, you guys will be buried in 14 inches of snow up there.
That's true. We'll make sure people know, but that's kind of the plan. Right now, the BlizzCon thing is an absolute lock, and of course, the thing in April for TMS is happening. We'll see how that goes. That will help determine a lot of this stuff. So,
and I bought my ticket for Dragon Con this year, Scott. How about you?
I haven't decided. I don't know if I care about Dragon. I don't have any. There's no connection to Dragon Con except I'd see you guys again. There's no other reason to do it.
Well, that's a thing.
It's a thing, but is it? I don't have. Usually, I like my thing to have other things I like about it. You know what I mean? Or other reasons to get excited. Like, if I didn't have any connection to Blizzard or Blizzard games or any of that other stuff, I probably wouldn't go to BlizzCon, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So, I don't
know. Well, you know, I haven't seen you in like 7 years now, man.
It's been a while, dude. How come we missed you at all those, the 2017?
There have been Nerdtaculars in those last 7 years, Josh. Those were an established
schedule. I have no
excuse
except the excuse everyone else has is family and work.
I understand. People get busy, but you never saw it in its true glory at Snowbird, man. It was something else when we did it there. But thanks for the call. Let's take this one here. This is from, I don't know who. It didn't answer for some reason. That's weird.
Sarge just suggested bringing There Will Be Dragons to, or There Will Be Dungeons to Dragon Con.
That may happen. It will for sure happen at BlizzCon, though, because we're all going to be there. So we're going to do some sort of Thursday night There Will Be Dungeons. Did he say dragons or dungeons?
I said dragons because I was thinking Dragon Con. I was like, oh, perfect. Oh, it's dungeons. There will be dungeons at Dragon Con.
Got to bring that to Dungeon Con, which is a very different con.
It involves more handcuffs and fur.
Whips and things. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Ian. I am Sci-Fi.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, Ian.
Not too much. Been a while since I called into TMS after all the unfriendmies.
Yeah, he's a regular on unfriendme. Almost every week, pretty much. Yeah, we'd love having
him. Wow, I'm kind of jealous that you've left us for him and Jerry.
Yeah.
I haven't left you. Yeah. You guys just haven't had a call-in segment in a while.
Sure. That's true. He's always with us. Always with
us. Good. Exactly. Always with us.
Yeah, he's the Jesus of TMS. Anyway. Ian,
I'm Jewish and so is Jesus.
No, that's right. That's right. There you go. Yeah, your favorite Jew.
Yeah. So lately I've been having sort of a bit of a cognitive dissonance over the fact that all of these quote-unquote period pieces are coming out from when I was young. The fact that Lady Bird is set in 2002 and that was, you know, when I graduated high school, and now we've got Everything Sucks on Netflix, which is great, by the way, if you guys haven't checked it out.
It's really good. Really, really good. We watched, Kim and I binged it and loved it. It's like Freaks and Geeks, but for the next generation 10 years later, basically.
Okay.
And the music is amazing. If you're into 90s music at all, the soundtrack's incredible. And the thing I think I like the most about it is there's just a really inherent sweetness to it. Like, there's a kindness to these kids that you don't associate with 90s kids. Like, you, we like to make fun of that whole era as, like, you know, aimless kids, and anyone in their 20s was just a, you know, grunge listening douchebag. And, like, we have all these stereotypes about that era, but these are the sweetest kids. And I don't know who that main kid is, actor-wise, like, what his name is. I forget. That dude, that kid's going to have a career. He's really, really, really good. So, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Everything sucks. Totally worth watching.
Yeah. And that takes place in 96. And, I mean, these guys are, like, 2 years older than I am. So, with all that combined with the fact that I just saw on Facebook that, like, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers just came out 29 years ago, like, how do you stop yourself from feeling so freaking old when all these period pieces are coming out you were a kid?
Oh, man, it's been going on. Like, people in the 70s were out seeing American Graffiti, which was a 50s thing, and probably feeling this way. I mean, we had Freaks and Geeks, that 70s show. Goldberg's is like, you know, firmly nestled in when I was Adam Goldberg's age.
Yeah, well, we were growing up right when that show is horrible at making me feel both nostalgic and old at the same time.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it just is exactly my growing up, and it's all the influences and it's all the references. And, like, we're about to go see, when's this? It's this month, isn't it? Ready Player One, I think, is this month.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Two weeks.
And that thing is going to be chock full of everything that mattered to me growing up. And now I'm seeing it in a way that is this ironic hodgepodge of all of that time, all mushed together and slapped on a screen. Like, it's freaky. So I don't know how you deal. Brian's better at dealing with this. Brian just says, you get older, whatever.
Exactly. Time moves. You can't stop it. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen no matter what. It's my perception of time that I'm more concerned about.
Right. You do a lot of the, oh my God, can you believe, Matrix came out 20 years ago? Or can you believe it's been someone's, you know, I mean, I guess I did that a couple days ago with The Big Lebowski, but I don't do it as much as you do.
No. I mean, once in a while, it's a fun surprise sometimes, but for me, it feels dreadful. Like, oh my gosh. It's been longer since Back to the Future than it was from the 50s when Back to the Future was set. Ah!
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Like, that kind of stuff is so weird.
And by the way, I liked it, somebody wound up calling Ready Player One the Funko Pop movie, and I think that's what it should be referred to from now on.
Sure. Sure.
That's funny. It really is, right? I mean, it's basically one place with all these different franchises getting represented. That's a really funny way to put it.
Yeah. Someone in the chat says they don't think Ready Player One is ironic. It's a love letter to the era. No, I don't mean it in that way. I guarantee you there'll be some irony, though. They're going to play with that. They're going to do a lot of I mean, I read that book, so I know what it is. It's a lot of, look, DeLorean, remember those? Like, that's a thing in that story. And if the movie's going to be that, of course it is.
Yes.
And it's directed by Spielberg, for heaven's sakes.
So, it better end with a Tempest machine, because
Glenn
and I both have such a tremendous love for Tempest.
Yeah, right. Not Joust, but Tempest, sure.
Not Joust, Tempest.
Yeah, forget about Joust, everybody. It's not happening. It's going to be Tempest in that movie.
Got to be Tempest.
Well done. Ian, it's always good to talk to you, dude. Take it easy. Have a fun one. Let's see who we got here. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Kimmy.
Oh, hello, Kimmy, and welcome to
Call Now.
Hello. Welcome to Call Now. What's up?
Thank you. Scott, I was wondering if you have watched The Little Prince yet.
No, but for whatever reason, since Wednesday, which was just yesterday's recommendals, I've gotten, I don't know, 10 people asking me this. So clearly there's like a renewed interest in pushing me to see the Little Prince or Littlest, what is it? Little Prince. Prince
Little, the Prince. Little Prince.
The Little Prince.
Chicken Little Prince. Got it.
It's Netflix. Funny, you talked about it yesterday too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I brought it up yesterday, and then since then, like 10 people. They're all just like, Scott, just watch it. Sit down and watch it right now. Do it. And I don't know why that sudden resurgence, why it's so hot and heavy right now. I've been saying that I mean to see it forever, but all of a sudden everyone's all over me for it. So I'm going to make a commitment right now.
All right. One of the characters will probably remind you of Stanley, the character from There Will Be Dungeons.
Oh, really?
Just a little bit.
John that. That's fantastic. Cool. All right. My commitment is I'm going to see it this weekend, come hell or high water, which is another movie, but I don't mean that I'll watch that movie instead of this movie. Okay. So I'll let you know. Thank you, Kimmy, for the call. I'm going to, Monday I'm coming in here, Brian. I'm going to give my review of the Littlest Prince. Okay. Prince.
Maybe between now and then I'll watch all three Iron Man movies.
All the Iron Men. You see all the
Iron Men.
There's a lot of Iron Men in the third one, right? And they have a whole...
They have a lot of Iron Men. Every version of Iron Man that Tony Stark did.
Yeah.
Floating around there at the end there.
Whole floating armada of Iron Men. That's going to do it. Thanks for playing Call Now with us, everybody. It's always fun to hear from you guys. We'll do that, whenever we get a chance. We enjoy it. That's going to do it for the show. Patreon.com/TMS is the place to support us. If you would, that would be grand. It's literally keeping the lights on for the show, and it means much to us when you do. It is also what affords us a chance to give you an extra episode this week, which will be Friday. That's tomorrow at 1:30 p.m. for TMS PM. So come back for that.
Think of us as the CBS All Access that never has a big lull between seasons. We are constantly putting out TMS Discovery out to you constantly.
Mm-hmm.
We're
and y'all wear us out. I'm going to be honest. It's a tiring exercise that we love doing. Okay. It doesn't change how much we love doing it. It's just, it takes an emotional toll. I can only speak for me. Every day, I'm a little wiped when the show's over.
I have a little bit too. You have to
rejuvenate. You got to drink a bunch of coffee.
It's electrolytes for me. I have to, I quaff down a big old jar of Gatorade after every TMS.
I eat a pickle and everything's fine after that.
Somebody's got to pay for those pickles.
That's right, damn it. So thank you, and we'll see you guys tomorrow for that. Also, TMS mashups for our mashup guy. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Bunch of stuff going on over there, including where you can submit your songs for end of show requests. You can also sign up for the Overwatch tournament we're doing and some other cool stuff. That's, again, frogpants.com/TMS. And I think there might still be tickets, not many though, for the Vegas thing.
I don't know. I also don't know where we are with hotel rooms, if there are still hotel room things available.
Yeah, hopefully some. But
discounts. I mean, the hotel's not that expensive anyway, so.
Right. The discounts are nice, but if you're slow getting it, it's your fault. we got you a good discount, and if you didn't take advantage of it, what else can we do? Frogpants.com/TMS. I already mentioned that. Morning Stream, Scott Johnson and Coverville on Twitter, and we're done. Brian, music play.
I have music to play for you, and it's going out to Lady Redline in Twitch. Also goes by the name Ciola. She says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, March 9th is me and my husband's 16th wedding anniversary. We love listening to TMS, and I thought it'd be fun to put in a request for a song. My husband, Tim, is a huge Bare Naked Ladies fan, and the ladies are being inducted into the Canadian Hall of Fame at the end of the month. Since we're both celebrating something big, it feels like a fitting request." Signed, Ciola. Holy cow, I hope... And it's funny because when you read this, you think about the Bare Naked Ladies. I hope that Stephen Page is going to be with them for the Hall of Fame induction, because the fact that he's no longer part of the band is a huge bit of sadness for me. And I feel like part of the soul of Bare Naked Ladies left when Stephen Page had all of his drug issues and went to rehab and was never invited back into the band.
Remind me, is he the one that looks like Paul from Paul and Storm? Is that the right one? Okay.
That's exactly what it is. Right. So I hope he's going to be at least part of this, because he deserves the recognition for being the voice, one of the biggest voices of this. So that's actually kind of appropriate, the song I picked, because there is a Canadian music organization called the Art of Time Ensemble. And they are a lot more classically influenced, a lot more, violin, strings, and pianos and stuff like that. It's put together by a guy named Andrew Barashko. And he has done several of these albums as the Art of Time Ensemble with a bunch of these musicians, everybody from Leonard Cohen to Jane Siberry and stuff like that. Rufus Wainwright's been involved. In 2010... they brought Stephen Page on for an entire album called A Singer Must Die.
Oh, my Lord. All right.
Yeah, I know. Sounds grim, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little.
They basically had him come in and do a bunch of covers. Everybody from The Magnetic Fields to The Divine Comedy to Elvis Costello and Radiohead. They also did a cover of a Bare Naked Ladies song. And I feel like, all right, well, this seems like a good self-cover kind of situation. And it adds so much to the song, having this instrumental backing to them. So here you go. The Art of Time Ensemble featuring Stephen Page of the Bare Naked Ladies covering BNL's Running Out of Ink.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow for the PM edition of the show. Thanks for being here this week. We'll see you then.
Stopped into a club, I thought I'd see a show. Everyone was there, at least everyone I know. Then it goes in a knot, their hands upon their heart. The best they'd ever seen, the greatest work of art. I wish that it was me. It's bleaker than you think. I'm running out of ink. Give a guy a break. This is what it takes to drive a man to drink. Party at a friend's, Toronto school of scene. I thought I'd bring a tape to show them where I'd been. They listened for a while, the lyrics made them smile. They said that it was fine, although it's not their style. I said it wasn't me. Once upon a time, they couldn't get enough until I made it big, and that's when it got rough. Disappointed now, perhaps a bit surprised to look them in the face and see it in their eyes. They wish it wasn't me. Bleaker than you think. I'm running out of ink. Give a guy a break. This is what it takes to drive a man to drink. I used to hold you close. You used to tell me things you'd never tell a soul. And then you heard me sing the details of your life, condensed into a song. The neighbor and his wife work out and sing along, and you can't look at me. Bleaker than you think. I'm running out of ink. Give a guy a break. This is what it takes to drive a man to drink. Could song be an alibi? A lyric replacement for falling in love. But now that the well is dry, I can't understand what I've been singing of. I saw you on the lawn, I see you all the time. Now that you are gone, I tried to call your name, but something made me stop. I called you once a day, until you called the cops and told them it was me. I filled a plastic bag with everything I wrote. I threw it off the bridge, I thought that it would float. The water made it sink, the bag was bleeding ink. I wish that I could swim, I wish that I could drink. I wish that it was me. It's bleaker than you think. I'm running out of ink. Give a guy a break. This is what it takes to drive a man to drink. I'm running out of ink. Give a guy a break. This is what it takes to drive a man to drink. To drive a man to drink. Drive a man to drink.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
He does, you dipstick, did somebody move my car?